The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talk the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
I don't really know what feeling I have. I don't think I'm at the apathetic feeling yet.
No.
I mean, it'll take a long time before you ever get to that point. But I don't really know what my feeling is.
I get you.
I'm going to watch the game. You know, obviously, we're going to do a pregame and postgame for that game and break it down and talk about it and react to it. So, I mean, we're going to do all the same things we normally do on a game day. But it's just, I don't really know how to make what to make of it. I don't really know what feeling I need to have going into this game.
I get you.
Because it's not exactly something that it's, you, because we've talked about having as far as the chances that they have of winning this game. It's about next as little percentage as possible. I think that some fans are so fed up that maybe a lot of them won't even be watching the game, at least from people that I've seen reactions on social media. Maybe that's just all talk.
Do you believe that?
I think some of them won't, but I do believe most of them is all talk.
What else are you going to be doing at 6:30? That, you know, from 6:30 till 10:30 at night. That's the one thing about Chad Morris's offense. These games take a long time generally. What else are you going to be doing? That you're not going to slide over and watch some of the Arkansas-Auburn game. I think people just say that just to say that.
No, I agree with that.
I'm not saying nobody, but in the end, you'll be there watching, you know, at some point in this game.
Yep, especially if it's a little curious there in the first quarter.
You know?
Yeah, I think, no, people for sure care. But I think that's an interesting perspective, and I think it's an interesting way to put it with fans right now. What are your feelings going into this game?
Can you imagine if Arkansas won the toss or it either way ended up receiving the ball and marched down the field on the opening drive and scored and led 7-0. How social media would look. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen. I'm just saying.
That's what's called a pipe dream, Tommy.
No, I'm not suggesting that's going to happen, but can you imagine what the Twitter timelines and Facebook and if you're on Instagram, I can't help you, but you know. Can you imagine the commentary that would ensue?
Everybody would be saying Arkansas's back, probably jokingly though. But
no, I think it would be such a surprise.
Yeah,
and that's why I do think while they won't win and while they probably won't be in the game in the fourth quarter, I think it will be better than we're expecting because it's like the offensive line this year, not expecting a whole lot. So you get much anything, you're okay, and that's really kind of to the benefit of this team and Chad Morris right now. Our expectations for tomorrow night are so low that
you can never really be disappointed.
Exactly.
So I guess there's a silver lining. There's a happiness in that where you don't have to go into the game and then be mad at the end of it because you actually expected to win or expected to play at a certain level against Auburn because Auburn's a really good team. But something, you know, we're going to discuss throughout the show and get into in a little more specific. It looks like Auburn's got some problems in their locker room. They've had three players announce this week that they're transferring out or they're leaving. And we had Brandon Marcello on the show earlier this week, and he said that after that LSU loss, he had never seen the locker room in such disarray under Gus Malzahn. Makes you wonder if there's some, there's some problems.
You picked up on that comment and chewed on it for a little while, and I think that's a good observation out of you to note that, particularly when it's a program that's not in transition.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about Arkansas's issues this year on and off the field. A lot of it is revolving around new coach, new culture, new system, new rules, new discipline, new everything. And apparently this players meeting, or not players only meeting, but the Chad Morris meeting with his players on Sunday night and read him the riot act, as it was put. Don't have your parents calling me. All of these kind of things that are leaking out of this meeting. You can understand some of that when you're trying to change a culture. Well, we've talked about UCLA and Nebraska and Florida State, which might be the worst situation in America, right? You don't expect it with a program that's going into, what's Gus's sixth year they're beginning there?
Yeah, been there
underway.
Since 2013.
Yeah, same year Bielema got hired.
Yeah.
So that's the surprising part about Auburn having some quote-unquote locker room issues.
Yeah.
players leaving. You don't expect that because these are all guys that Malzahn's staff recruited, brought in.
Yeah. And not to mention the fact that
to be fits.
Last year, I mean, they beat Alabama and beat Georgia. They lost the SEC championship game, but...
Boo-hoo. Cry me a river if you're not happy with what's going on.
Yeah, so obviously it's not the lack of success.
Mm-hmm.
And I know losing to LSU, you don't want to do that, but it wasn't like LSU's first off a bad team and that you got blown out. It was a close game. So it just makes me wonder, these problems that Auburn's looking at, what is this? What's the origin of all of this?
My guess is you're going to see a record number of transfers in college football this year because of the new rules that basically the player doesn't even have to go talk to the coach anymore, right? You don't need the coach's permission.
You can just go.
Which I think is a terrible rule, terrible policy, teaching completely the wrong things. But that's the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But so we're getting ready to see a plethora of transfers end of November, 1st of December, I think.
Which I agree with you, but don't you think there should be maybe a little more leniency when it comes to having a new coach in transition? Do you think that that's maybe a little bit of a better reason if kids want to transfer out just with the new coach, if that wasn't the coach they came to play for and it ended up not working out the way they wanted? Because I don't think...
should that player be required to at least give that coach a chance or a meeting or, you know,
give him
some
a year.
Amount of time?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just if you gave him a year and it wasn't fitting for you,
right.
I don't blame him for transferring out.
You only get to do this once. You only got 5 years to play four. I guess you get four and a third now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you don't get do-overs. You don't, you know, this job doesn't work out, I'll go get another one for the next 4. You can't do that in college football. And for these guys trying to make it to the next level, they only get really one shot in one situation to get it right. So I don't have a problem with the transferring. I just have a problem where we've opened it up. And I just, you know,
sounds like free agency.
My only comment is I think we're going to see, you're talking about people already leaving. It's not even October yet. And people talking about leaving.
Mm-hmm.
We got Arkansas with players MIA. Jevin Callaway that's not been practicing, not with the team. Obviously not going to be making this trip. We're told personal reasons. We're hearing maybe there's more to it than that. But, I think you're just seeing more and more of this because the player feels like they got the power now to just get pull up tent stakes and move on.
Yeah,
they do a degree.
Yeah, and Tommy,
I don't have a problem with that. I just think it ought to be done and handled in the right way.
And what week are we going into in college football?
Well, this would be week 4, right?
That's right. And at what point in time are you not allowed to take that as a redshirt year?
Well,
if you've played in four games. So if you've played in three,
this would be the 4.
Right. So
assuming you hadn't had a bye.
Yeah. So that's another thing. In fact, we'll talk about that too, where Nick Saban had some interesting comments about the new redshirt rule. And I agree with you.
And just to be... And I know you're clear on it, but I've talked to a lot of people. Well, I guess, and they had the thought, well, I guess you can't play after this week or your redshirt. It's not the first 4 games. It's any four games.
Any combination of them.
Yeah, right. And it's not total game. It's if you appear in a game, that's a game.
Mm-hmm.
So Connor Nolan, John Stephen Jones, they've got one of their 4. So they got 3 more games they can appear in. And I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch coaches around the country manage, but we're really going to pay attention to what happens here.
Yeah.
Because do you hold these guys and let them play the last 3 games of the year? Where do you sprinkle them in at? Because I think it would be, with the way this season's going, why would you waste a year of eligibility?
I don't think you would. I don't think you should, especially with those guys.
This tells me we're going to ride with the 2 quarterbacks we've seen till maybe perhaps the last 3 games, or you split those 2 freshmen up. All right, you're playing the next 3, and you're playing the last 3, or however it goes.
Yeah. I mean, you can have a combination of it all. And I think that Chad Morris in that quarterback situation is going to maneuver around a little bit.
Boy, if that's the way this thing goes,
I mean, that's obviously not what you want, but I think that if you have an opportunity to get some real game experience for some of these kids.
I mean, it's just going to mean the rest of the season's a disaster, though.
Yeah, well, I think we're at that point.
But
do you still feel like there's hope for not being a disaster?
You tell me where any team's had any glimmer of hope starting 4 different quarterbacks in a year at any level.
Oh, I don't think they've had any serious glimmer of hope. But
I'm just saying you may have seen your last win already.
Yeah, but I'm
going to go that path.
But what I am saying, though, is that you may not see Cole Kelly again. You may not see him take another snap. And so, again, it's about how you do it the rest of the year and the combination of it all. And who knows, maybe it's not John Stephen Jones, but if Connor Nolan ends up getting some playing time. Because here's my question to you, Tom, because you brought it up how you don't want to really burn a redshirt year on one of those quarterbacks if you don't have to.
But not this year. Not on this season.
Yeah, not on this season. But what if? But what if Connor Noland comes in against, I don't know, some team, just name a team here in the next couple of weeks again for Arkansas?
Alabama.
Well, let's hope that's not the case. But just say, okay, Alabama. What if he comes in and does really well? And then the next game.
Well, let's make it A&M just to be
okay,
more,
so let's
more
do
current,
A&M.
More realistic. Next
let's do
week.
A&M. He comes in and plays really well. Well enough to, I'm not saying they lead him to a win or anything, but he plays well enough to where it's like, okay, this guy looks good. So do you go with him again and again and again?
Wouldn't it be a more fitting and better story if it was the Jones kid that came in the A&M game in his granddaddy's building played well? That'd be a better story.
Oh, that'd be all over SportsCenter.
That'd be awesome.
The topic of conversation for everybody.
Yeah.
But my point is that if you're Connor Noland, though, and you come in and you play well in that game and you keep going, do you not keep going with him?
Well, I mean,
and if it's a waste of a season and he's not going to be very good this year?
Way back when, I know y'all think this is ancient history, 1992, Barry Lunny came in the final month of the season and led the team to a victory over Tennessee. And then, obviously, he was the starting quarterback from there forth. So, you got to have a game out of one of these young kids that people can believe in. They start believing in themselves and people, the rest of the team will rally around that person.
Yeah, you got to have something to make them hopeful.
Someone's got it. Here's the bottom line. I know we got to get out of here for this segment. One of these four guys, and it doesn't look like it's going to be Cole Kelly. Maybe this week it's Ty Story. The best scenario for this team is one of these guys claim the job. They're not given the job. They claim the job. And it's clear and evident by their play. That's their guy for this year at least. That's what we, and so far no one's, we thought Ty Story did in the Eastern Illinois game. We thought he claimed the job, right?
Thought so.
Fool's gold.
Because Colorado State did not play well.
Hopefully this week, Ty Story comes out and is solid against Auburn and claims the job.
Yep.
That's what, I mean, I'd love to see the young kids play some more and get some valuable playing time, and I think Chad Morris will find spots to do that, but you really need Ty Story to just come out and take the job this week.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Go to the phone lines. Former Razorback defensive lineman now joins us, Raymond House. Good morning, Raymond. How you doing this morning, man?
Doing well, guys. How about y'all?
Oh, we're doing awesome, and we've been talking about this matchup between Arkansas and Auburn this weekend, and we'll start right there, Raymond. This team got embarrassed last weekend against North Texas. I don't think there's any other way to put it. The fans were very upset. It was just an overall bad situation, and now you have to go on the road against a really good Auburn team, and you have a new starting quarterback in Ty Story. Just overall, how as a team can you bounce back from that? From that embarrassment, how do you just basically strengthen yourself back up and get back out there when you know you're going to be going up and against a good team in a hostile environment? Can it be done in that short, quick week?
Unfortunately, this is a recurring theme of having a short memory, but they still kind of have to stick to that. Is that, you know, learn from your mistakes from the previous week, but you've got to find a way to move on. You can't unlose the game from the previous week, and you got to have your focus on the task at hand, and that's going down to Jordan-Hare Stadium and facing a tough Auburn team. And you hear a lot of the talk coming out of the Razorback camp about believing and having the belief within each other as a team, and really the coach is pushing that of not. You don't want anybody on that bus that doesn't think that you can't go down there and win, regardless of what's happening around you. I mean, they're in a situation where, you know, it's them against the world and nobody else believes in them. And that's, you know, usually that's cliche, but this is probably very true in this case. Not a lot of believers on the outside looking in, so they've got to find a way to forge themselves as a team and go out there and do their best to believe in each other. But also with that, execute a game plan that, you know, can kind of hopefully exploit some of the weaknesses Auburn has shown.
Dre Greenlaw was injured with a high ankle sprain in week one. Haven't seen him since. Thought last week he was going to get back on the field. Didn't work out. Looks like he will play this week. Plus, Kevin Richardson will be back with the Razorbacks. Been practicing this week. What do those two additions mean for the Razorbacks and John Chavis's defense?
Yeah, well, it looks to add two guys that both play within the box. Obviously, Kevin Richardson would be kind of a guy that would be in that nickel situation that would also have to play within it. And Dre Greenlaw, you know, your senior leader at linebacker and tackling machine, when he's healthy, when he's out there on the field, those are two pieces that are definitely going to be crucial if they have going to have any success in Auburn. It's going to be a spread type team that's going to look to run first. They're definitely going to be more heavy on the run. And that's got to be their number one thought is how do we stifle the run and not give up a couple of 100-yard rushes, because they definitely will hold firm to that, because they know that's part of, from Auburn's perspective, they know that's part of their success.
Yeah, and Auburn's just crammed it down the Razorbacks' throats the last couple of years. Stopping the run is mission one when you're playing Auburn.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's actually the common theme. Anytime you play in the SEC, you know you have to be able to run the ball and stop the run. And you look at the teams that have maintained success and been at the top of the league, those are two things that, you know, that seem to be part of their makeup. And you know, the Razorbacks definitely kind of have to figure that out. Very inconsistent in their own running game. You know, go from not having any to having a great game to back to not having any again. They've got to try to find a way to find the consistency within their own run game, along with ensuring that they make the commitment to having the right run fits and don't create those seams. You know, that this run-pass option offense that Auburn brings in is going to try to create.
Speaking with former Razorback defensive lineman Raymond House right now on the show. Raymond, we are about a quarter away. We're a quarter away through the season. We got three games for Arkansas. Obviously, 1-2 is not the start that they wish they would have had. But just looking at the defensive front side of things, comparing it to last year and what your expectations were, how do you feel like they've performed overall against the first three teams? Or do you feel like they've done better than maybe what the record shows? Do they still struggle in some spots? Just what's been your overall feeling of the defensive front so far this year?
I honestly think that they have done better than what the record would show. Because when you think about it statistically, they haven't given up any major monster games as far as total yards concerned as a defense as a whole. We've been in tough situations to where, you know, not taking care of the ball ourselves, you know, kind of put them in some tough situations, and they've had to deal with a lot of short fields. But when you think about names like, you know, like Watts and C.J. Smith and McTevin and Game, you know, they've definitely been disruptive in certain situations. Maybe not necessarily the sack total that you'd like to see, but, you know, when you play a lot of these quick up-tempo teams, they try to neutralize your front seven as much as you possibly can as far as pass rush is concerned. I'm okay with the way it is. I think they could still be more disruptive. Plus, getting some guys completely healthy and getting back to full speed. When you think about Doriel and you think about Randy, you know, having some injuries and being banged up there, having them to the full strength with everybody healthy, hopefully that's what happens this week. They've been decent. I think they could be a bit more disruptive, but I don't think it's as bad as it seems because of the way things have gone, you know, on the other side of the ball, too, that's kind of put into some bad situations.
Let me ask a kind of a left-field question for a defensive captain, but this is so important for the defense. What is Arkansas going to do with the punting game? Because it's been miserable so far, and Arkansas can't seem to win the battle of field position because the punting game is not helping them out.
Yeah, it's one of those mysteries where you thought like you were in a situation where you're comfortable with the way the punting is gone, but, you know, if you can't get somewhere in an average that's somewhere in the 40s, that doesn't put you in a position to try to switch fields. You know, I'm not real sure if they're in a situation to feel like they're going to try to some more kickers out. But the best thing for that situation is, can we get more, can we get more success offensively, period, to where even if you are in a situation to punt, you're not asking your punter to try to have to shift the field every single time. So, you know, maintaining drives is the biggest thing to help, you know, improve the punting situation. But also when you put in that situation, they've got to have that focus on how they're coaching up their special teams, players, and making sure that they can get some things done. I don't know if they're going to try some things directionally or, you know, rugby style, but, you know, there's some things that they can do. But, I mean, at this point, maintaining drives is the best thing they can do as far as affecting how punting goes.
Raymond, the thing about this game, too, is that we've been talking about it, and it doesn't look like there's really any chance Arkansas is going to win the game itself, but I think that there can be some silver linings. There can be some things that you can at least take away from it. When you're looking into this game, is there something you want to see first and foremost from Arkansas? Is it just as simple as playing hard and giving that effort, or is there something specific from a position? Just overall, what would you like to see from the Razorbacks in this game, even if it's in a losing effort?
Yeah, well, I mean, what you pointed out to first, obviously, is where my eyes would go. What is their attitude? How they are carrying themselves? Do they look like a team that believes they can come out there and win the game? And then that is the first and foremost, the most important thing, I think, because that kind of speaks to how this coaching staff and how the leaders on the team are leading, you know, are setting the example on how they should make their approaches. But second of all, do we see some specific changes, some things that they are trying to do to help exploit what it is that the opposing offense or opposing defense is giving them? And are you intentional with doing those things from a strategic perspective? I mean, that's kind of where my eyes are going to go. Yes, it's one thing if they have bigger, better, faster athletes, but are you trying to put your guys in the best position to be successful? I want to make sure there are some things that they're being intentional with from a strategy perspective to make sure that they try to at least make the attempt on attacking this opposing team in areas where they feel like they can find some weaknesses. Obviously them being out there and finishing every single play that they're a part of. Don't take any short steps. And also another thing I just thought about is that this can't be a situation where you're trying to go out there and hurt yourself. You've got to play mistake-free, focused football because you're already playing a good team that's already going to be bringing a lot of things against you to make you unsuccessful. Don't add to that by making mistakes yourself.
Last one before we let you get out of here, Raymond, just your overall feel for the game tomorrow. How does it go? Does Arkansas keep this close? Do they bounce back? Just what do you think about the game so far?
This is not a game that I would feel good about given the entire situation of things going on the past couple of weeks, plus Arkansas's record, on the road, all the things that have been negative. I'm just hoping to see a team that can go out there and compete and give the absolute best, and hopefully they're playing up within a strategy that at least tries to go out there and do some things differently. They know they cannot be the exact same and be successful going down in Jordan Hare.
Raymond House, former Arkansas defensive lineman. Always appreciate you joining us, Raymond. Great stuff, man. Looking forward to catching up with you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
So we're going to do our fence man picks this morning. We got the fence man in here with us, and man, you got some work to do.
I'm trying to catch up, guys.
You got some work to do. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Fence Man Friday football picks. Call the Fence Man for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fence Man. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, let's get right into it. I believe I hold the small marginal lead, if I'm not mistaken, Tommy.
I think you got a one-point lead right now. Those bonus points have been big for you because you've gotten the bonus point. What, two of 3 weeks now?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's been big for you.
Yeah, so ties, are we correct in that?
Against the spread, okay. not as good, but hey, that's not how the rules of the game work.
That's right. I was one of the few people that actually, what was it, 45 points? I had Bama winning over Ole Miss.
You said that jokingly, but
yeah,
you were.
It ended up being.
You could have said 50 and you'd have been okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
You said 55 and you'd have been okay.
Yeah, the scores keep going up and up, and I'll probably do the same thing if that ends up happening. So, all right, Ty, got a few good games. Of course, we'll do our bonus points, so why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
All right, first game we're going to do, boys, is Alabama as 26-point favorite against Texas A&M. That game
over. Give me 26 and then some.
That game's in Bryant-Denny Stadium, so we'll start with that one.
They'll cover it by halftime. Give me Bama. Laying the points.
Your boys A&M now, Jimbo Fisher, they took Clemson down to the wire.
Yeah.
That will happen this week.
Not in Tuscaloosa.
I'm thinking Texas A&M covering.
Oh, okay.
All right.
There you can go ahead. What you, fence man?
Oh, Alabama ain't tricking me. I'm going to take Alabama and get 40.
Yeah. I'm
with you.
And the thing is, I'm the same way. Give me Bama. Bama's going to roll. Yeah. I'm not going to bet against Bama at all this season because it seems like a bad idea. I made my mistake in the Louisville game. I'm not going to do it again.
We talked about this watching one of the games, guys, that what if you just started out with $100 or whatever at the beginning of the year and you just bet Bama to cover and you just kept rolling it and you kept rolling. I mean,
probably be all right.
You'd have some nice Christmas money at the end of the year.
Yeah, you certainly would be. So, all right, so Tyler's the only one that has Texas A&M. in this game.
Might be the smart play going against the grain.
Way to go. Way to gain some ground. So, all right, Ty, what's the next one?
Next one, we got Mississippi State and Kentucky. Mississippi State favored by 9 in this one.
And it's at Kentucky.
It's at Kentucky. It's in Kroger Field, yes.
9
points. Mississippi State favored. Now, Kentucky just beat Florida.
There you go, Mark Stoopsy.
In Gainesville.
Mark Stoopsy doesn't have to go to Gainesville on this one. Nope. He just has to hang out right there, and he's hanging out in Lexington.
That's right. That's right. You know what? I'm gonna go first, I guess. Give me Kentucky. I'm gonna go against the SEC West. I feel like they got some really good momentum. It's probably going to be a very electric atmosphere there in Lexington, as electric as it can be. Give me Kentucky in this one.
I got Kentucky as well, John.
Okay, there you go. So
I'm taking Mississippi State.
All right.
I'm with Vince, man. Give me State, and I'll lay the 9.
All right, split right down the middle there. Me and Tyler with Kentucky. Tommy and the Fence Man with Mississippi State. All right, next one, Ty.
All right, Florida and Tennessee. This is kind of interesting. Florida started as about an 8 or an 8.5-point favorite. Mm-hmm. It's now since moved down to them only being 4.5-point favorites. The Gators getting that. So who are you going with? The Vols or the Gators this weekend?
4.5, right?
Mm-hmm. 4.5.
What happened to the good old days when you didn't have to worry about it? You knew Tennessee couldn't win.
Hey, yeah. What happened to the good old days when both these football teams were good?
Yes. That was the game of the SEC season.
Years ago.
Like, Ty, I appreciate you picking this one. There's some other really good games in college football. Florida-Tennessee will not be on the radar screen this week.
No.
That's how sad it is. I mean, for years, this game is like the must-watch game of the week. Yep. No one cares about it right now.
Steve Spurrier and Phil Fulmer, Hall of Fame coaches, were going at it, and I don't know if it has the same luster that it once did. So, but in this game, because where's it being played, Ty? Is it in Knoxville?
I believe it's in Knoxville.
It's in Knoxville.
99% sure it's in Knoxville.
Okay. I'm going to go with Florida and Dan Mullen. Give me Florida 4.5.
Give me Florida 4.5.
So, Fence Man's going with Florida, too. All right.
Yeah, it's got to be Florida this week because I have zero faith in the Pruitt guy.
Yeah.
Zero. I don't even know what he's talking about half the time.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's true.
Tommy, you're going to be different?
Nope. Clean sweep, all four.
Oh. No one has any faith
anticlimactic.
In Jeremy Pruitt. No one has any faith in that team.
Well, I've got faith
It is in Knoxville. That's what I thought. Knoxville. I just wanted to make sure. Good old Nealon. No faith, boys.
No faith. Plus, I have a little more faith in Dan Mullen than I do in Jeremy Pruitt, too. He's got a little better of a resume. So, all right.
What's sad is we're not even picking the Arkansas game. We're picking the score differential of the Arkansas game. Just to throw it out, the line, according to most Vegas sites, is about 30 in favor of Auburn. So, what's going to be the score differential in the Arkansas-Auburn game, Vince, man?
40.
40.
Woo!
Auburn or Arkansas win by 40?
No.
Negative Ghost Rider.
Yeah. I'm going to... You know what? I'm going to go with Auburn, but I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I like to make it interesting. I'm going to have Auburn winning this game by 28. So give me 28 points.
You think the Chad Morris, Gus Malzahn friendship plays into that?
I'm just going off of what we discussed and maybe the locker room's in disarray at Auburn.
Okay.
That's my only basis for this. So maybe that'll affect them negatively in this game. So, and funny, negatively affecting them. They only win by 28.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a time.
I don't care how bad the locker room is at Auburn. I give them, they've got 28 points minimum in this football game. I'm pretty positive of it. So,
maybe. So, what's your point differential there?
28.
That's what I said, though.
You got to go.
28. Okay, 24. How about that?
There you go.
Going lower. Okay. All right.
Give me 29, Bob.
Oh, see, that's crap.
Give me 29, Bob.
That's such crap.
All right, just to reiterate the standings heading into week 4. John, you got 6 points. Tommy's got 5. Tyler's got 3. And the Fence Man's got 2. So it's a pivotal week, fellas.
Yeah. Well, the one game the Mississippi State game apparently is not going to have – or no, it's the Florida game that's not going to have any – bearing
no
on
there. No they all going there. All win together and going down together.
Tyler's out on an island on A&M, so we'll see if that bodes well for him or if it
very well could.
Shoots him in the foot.
Hey, listen, A&M, they did play well against Clemson, but the way it has nothing to do with the way A&M's playing. It's just the way that Alabama's playing for me. They just they look absolutely unstoppable. And I just don't know, and being in Tuscaloosa and A&M, they may be a good team, but I just can't pick them. Just can't do it. So there you have it.
All right.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.